Gospel of Luke, chapter number 23, will be where we find our text tonight. And while you're finding your place there, I just want to say, Brother Corey, I appreciate that. When we take the time to actually stop and think about the blessings of God and how good God is for many of us, in fact, for all of us, if we were to take the time to actually sit down and think of each and every one, we would be here for a while because they would be endless. I think of the words of the psalmist when he said, "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" And I find it very amazing that there is a power that is much higher than I, or much higher than you, that cares about you, that always has our best interest at heart. And as has been said, even though we do face trials in our life, they are all ordained and sent by God, and we always come out better than we were when we went in. Luke chapter number 23 tonight, very, very familiar passage of Scripture. And if I just want to encourage you tonight, and maybe if it's not an encouragement, maybe just a reminder, it's nothing that you haven't heard before, but it's good every now and then to just be reminded of some things that we already know. Luke chapter number 23, we'll begin our reading in verse number 33, and we'll read down through verse number 46. The Bible says, "And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with him derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour, and the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost." The picture that we find before us this evening is one that we're all familiar with, but by way of introduction, let me just draw your attention to some things that we find about this place called Calvary. Number one, Calvary we see is a place of neglect. In verse number 44, it says, "And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. For 3 hours, the entire world went black, because God himself, because of what Jesus was doing by taking on the sins of the entire world, could not look upon sin. And so he turned his back on his son and neglected him." It's a place of neglect. But then we see, secondly, that not only is Calvary a place of neglect, but Calvary is also a place of nevertheless. I would draw your attention back to a time in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus is about to go to the cross, and right before the soldiers come and take him, the Bible teaches us that he's in the garden and he's praying, and he's so stressed out and he's so worn from his journey and from just all the different things that are taking place at this time, that he begins to, the Bible says, sweat as it were great drops of blood. And he said, "Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me." Now, I don't believe that he ever thought that that would be a possibility, because if Jesus had walked away from Calvary, he would not have fulfilled the plan that God had set out for his life. But he said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Calvary was a place of neglect. It was a place of nevertheless, but this is where we'll draw the message from tonight. Number three, Calvary was a place of necessity. I want you to understand something tonight, as I know you already know, but Calvary was not an afterthought. It was not a plan B. Calvary was not, okay, we've tried everything else, now let's give this a shot. Calvary was option A from the very beginning. The very moment that man sinned and doomed his soul to he ruined what God had planned out for them, that moment God knew that there had to be something done in order for man to regain his status of being as holy as he once was. And so Calvary had to be. Tonight I want to preach very simply on this thought. If it hadn't been for Calvary. I just want to draw your attention to some things and just kind of remind you of where we stand, because Calvary is a part of the Word of God. Number one, if it hadn't been for Calvary, salvation wouldn't be possible. Take your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 9. if you would please. Hebrews chapter number 9, we'll look at a verse of scripture there. Hebrews chapter number 9, look with me if you would please in verse number 22. The Bible says, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood there is no remission of sins." So if Calvary had never been a part of the Word of God, if Calvary wasn't on these pages, if Calvary wasn't in the picture, salvation wouldn't be possible. You know as well as I do that in the Old Testament they were required, when they came to ask for repentance or ask forgiveness for their sins, they were required to find a lamb that was without blemish and that was without spot, that could serve as the propitiation, that could serve as something that would get them where they needed to be, that would forgive their sins because the blood was untainted. But you must understand that when Jesus died, he was dying for the sins not just of a family, not just of a few individuals, but he was dying for the sins of the entire world. And so Calvary had to be a necessity, because God knew that there had to be one whose blood was untainted. There had to be one who had no blemish, no spot on him, one who had lived a perfect and a sinless life. And because of that, salvation today is possible. It's so important to understand that Jesus did no wrong and Jesus knew no sin, because if Jesus had sinned, his blood would have been tainted, and him shedding his blood for us all those years ago on Calvary would not have made salvation possible, because it was not perfect as it needed to be. But because it was perfect and because Jesus died, salvation today is possible. But if it hadn't been for Calvary, salvation would not be possible. Number two, if it hadn't been for Calvary, not only would salvation not be possible, but number two, Satan would have prevailed. I can imagine how the disciples felt that day when they had heard it preached for 3.5 years. This man had stood there and told them, "One day I'm not going to be here, I'm going to die." And he had told them exactly what was going to happen. But no doubt in the moment, when Jesus died, the disciples were grieved in their hearts, and many of them had gone back to what they were doing before. And I can imagine as day number one rolls around, Calvary's still silent. The disciples, no doubt, getting more discouraged, just trying to go back to live life the way it was before Jesus, before he called them out. Day number two goes by, still nothing. And I can imagine the grief kind of sets in a little bit, and they realize, okay, well, maybe everything that he said wasn't true. You know, maybe, is there a possibility that, you know, he said he was going to die and then he said he was going to rise again? But then I can imagine on day number three, as the disciples wake up, no doubt discouraged and grieved in their hearts, and I can imagine as the stone is rolled away that morning and Jesus rises from the grave, I can imagine the unrest that sets in the hearts of Satan and his demons. I can imagine, no doubt, Satan, because he's not omniscient, because he doesn't know everything, I can imagine how he finally realizes, okay, I didn't win. I thought for sure that after day number two, I thought for sure I had you. Then I can imagine as Jesus rises from the grave, Satan realizes, okay, I've lost. I believe that's why Satan gets so excited and so happy when he ruins the life of a Christian, because he knows the end story. He does. He already knows that. He knows that one day he's not going to be able to cause chaos anymore. He's not going to be able to ruin the lives of Christians. He knows how the story ends. And one day he's going to lose for the final time. But if Calvary had not been a possibility, and if Calvary was not on these pages, salvation wouldn't be possible. Satan would have prevailed. And number three, service would be pointless. Take your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians with me, if you would, please. Chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. We'll look at a few verses here. Verse number 12, the Bible says, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. Ye are yet in your sins. If what we're talking about tonight had never transpired, had never taken place, we would have absolutely no reason to be here. Because you see, we spend our lives as Christians trying to do the will of God and trying to please God because of what He did for us. But what I want you to understand tonight, that if He had not done this for us, there would be no need for us to be doing what we're here tonight. So we've talked about what would have happened if it hadn't been for Calvary. But now, in closing, let me give you this. Because of Calvary. Three things very quickly. Number one, because of Calvary, our sins are forgiven. It's all said and done. Never again will a sacrifice of humankind be required for us to be forgiven of our sins. He died once and for all, and that's it. It's all said and done after that. Our sins are forgiven. Number two, our salvation is forever. Never again will we have to come before God and say, Lord, I repent of my sins. Lord, I need salvation one more time. Once you're saved, if you get the real thing, if you believe in your heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, and you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and you believe that in your heart, the Bible says that you are saved, and that has been sealed forever. Amen. And because of that, because all this took place and all this transpired, our sins are forgiven. Our salvation is forever. And then number three, our security, eternal security, is free. John 3:16 says, For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Salvation and everlasting life was a gift that was given to God, that was given by God. The great thing about gifts is that they don't cost us anything. The only cost that's involved in the gift is the person that's giving the gift. And no doubt this gift that was given to us had the greatest price on it that's ever been imagined. This had to be paid for with the life of an individual. But thank God, because Calvary is in the Bible, because Calvary was a part of the life of Jesus Christ, these things are so today. We never again have to worry about, you know, well, what do I need to ask forgiveness for today, and what do I need to do in order for these things to be forgiven? It's all been done. Jesus knows every sin that you've done in your life. When He died on the cross, He died for the sins that had been committed, that were being committed at that time, and that would ever, throughout the course of history, be committed. He has paid wholeheartedly. He has paid 100% every sin that you and I will ever commit. If you're saved, Jesus has paid for. And do you understand why? If I could get you to understand anything tonight, I just want to remind you that all of this that we have tonight is possible because this took place. If this was not on the pages of the Word of God, we might as well pack it up and leave tonight. But I'm so thankful that Jesus saw worth it. He saw mankind and He knew that they were unworthy, but I'm glad that He looked past that, and I'm glad that He saw that even though they don't deserve it, they've done it to themselves, He still said, Father, forgive them. And I'm glad tonight that because of Jesus and because of what He did over 2,000 years ago on Calvary, you and I can be where we are tonight, and one day we will be able to reign side by side with Him forever and ever and ever and ever. If it hadn't been for Calvary, none of these things would have come to pass. But thank God for Calvary. I sure am glad for Calvary. Amen. Father, thank You so much tonight for just Your Word, God, and the great truths that we find in it. Lord, I pray that something that I've said tonight has found a lodging place in the hearts of these dear people. God, I pray that You would take it and use it as You see fit. God, I pray for the rest of the service to come. Lord, thank You for the great truth we've already heard from Brother Corey. God, I pray for Brother Michael, as he'll come in the next few moments to preach. God, I pray You fill him with Your power and Your spirit. Be with those that'll be singing. God, for everything that You'll do in our midst tonight and in the remainder of the week and in the years to come, we'll give You praise and honor and glory. And we're so thankful. We love You tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.